In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority. Amen. Jerusalem, Judea, in southern Israel, has been a very, very dangerous place for Jesus throughout John's gospel. Jesus had first gone to Jerusalem when he had gone into the temple and cleared the temple and shut it down of all sacrifice. As you might imagine, this infuriated the authorities. They wanted Jesus gone. Jesus had also gone to Jerusalem on two other occasions, and he had healed somebody on the Sabbath day, the day you weren't supposed to do work. The first, he had healed a man who was paralyzed, immobilized in his life. The second time, Jesus had healed a man who had been born blind and gave him the ability to see. This infuriated the authorities so much that Jesus was almost stoned to death on two separate occasions while in Jerusalem. And on two other occasions, he was almost arrested twice in Jerusalem so far. It was that led Jesus to escape across the Jordan, where he was hanging out when he got news that his good friend Lazarus was sick and dying. While Jesus was hanging out there across the Jordan, Lazarus ended up dying. But then Jesus decided to go in near Jerusalem to where Lazarus lived in order to bear witness to what he was about. And so Jesus crossed over the Jordan back to Judea and Jerusalem area where all this trouble had been brewing. Thomas that day said, "Let us go and die with Jesus." Thomas knew, if we go back to Judea, to Jerusalem, this can't end well. And they had gone there. And there Jesus had called Lazarus out of his tomb. And immediately following that, the people were amazed and Jesus' popularity continued to grow. The common people were amazed by him and were believing in him and wanted him to be the chosen one. And the authorities continued to get angry. This popularity was getting out of control, and so the authorities got together to plot and to scheme. We must get rid of Jesus. He is a danger. Why? Because his revolution is going to bring Rome down upon us. Therefore, the high priest said, we must kill this Jesus as a sacrifice for the rest of our nation. Because if he doesn't die, Rome's going to destroy us all. Jesus must die. And so that day, the authorities declared that there was a standing warrant for Jesus' arrest. Anyone who saw Jesus must turn him in. He must be turned over to the authorities. He must be killed. So following this healing of Lazarus and this, again, growing opposition, Jesus again escapes to the wilderness, we're told. And there he's hanging out. But then we're told 6 days before the Passover celebration, Jesus decided to go back into the hornet's nest, where he had almost been stoned twice, where he'd only been arrested, where he had a standing warrant out for his arrest to be arrested and killed. 6 days before the Passover, he goes back. He goes back first to the house of Lazarus, this man he had rescued from death. In the scene that we have in our text for today is Jesus eating with Lazarus in his house. Martha is serving them, and Mary, Martha's sister that we learn from the Lazarus story, comes in to where Jesus is eating and takes this burial perfume that she has been holding on to and opens it up and starts to pour it on Jesus' feet. And takes her hair down and starts wiping the perfume off of Jesus' hair. And we're told the whole house begun to smell of this beautiful perfumed oil that was used to prepare bodies for burial. Judas, one of Jesus' followers sees this and gets really angry. Hey, that's really expensive burial oil. Shouldn't it have been sold and given to the poor? That's worth 300 days' wages. That's almost a year of work. And this woman is just pouring it out on you. John, the narrator, tells us that this wasn't because Judas actually cared for poor people. He was in charge of the common purse, we're told. And the more that got put into the common purse, the more that Judas could secretly take out of it. So Judas was upset that Mary had been holding back from the common purse, thereby cutting off Judas's access to more money. Jesus responds to Judas, "Leave her alone. She has been saving this oil for my burial. You're always going to be living among the poor. That's the kind of people you are. But my time is coming soon." What is Mary doing as she anoints Jesus' feet? Is Mary realizing that as he comes back into the Judea area, that Jesus is inevitably going to be killed? Is she anticipating his burial? By taking this oil that Jesus tells us she has saved specifically for his burial and anointing him with it. Or maybe something happened inside of Mary when she saw her brother walk out of a tomb after being buried for 4 days. Is it possible that Mary was forever changed when she saw that? She had been saving this oil to prepare for Jesus' burial, but now she has seen Jesus defeat death, the death of her brother Lazarus. Maybe she realizes saving this oil for Jesus' death doesn't make sense anymore. He has defeated death. He reversed Lazarus' death. Maybe now is the time to stop saving. I will lavish this oil upon him now. Because what better moment than right now? Why save it for some unknown later date? While Jesus is there at Lazarus' house, the authorities get wind of this, that Jesus is back in their territory, and they're ready to act against him. The authorities are ready to go for him. But Jesus, the next day, before they are able to act, gets the crowds that have surrounded him together, and he gets on a donkey, and he rides into Jerusalem, right into the hornet's nest. He does not wait for them to come to him. He goes right in to the center of power. And as Jesus rides in, these crowds are stirred up at all the things he's been doing. And they shout, "Hosanna, save us, rescue us from Rome, rescue us from the authorities in Jerusalem." This crowd is so great that even those who are Greek start to gather around Jesus. And as he is ridden into Jerusalem, he stops and he proclaims, "Now the hour has come, the moment for me to be glorified." He says, "A seed, a little tiny seed, unless it is planted into the ground, it is worthless. But if a seed is planted into the ground, it produces a great harvest." In light of this analogy, Jesus tells them, "Look, if you love your life and try to hold on to it, you're just going to destroy it. It's going to be a waste. But if you lose your life, disown it, plant it, it will produce a great harvest." Jesus says, "Look, My soul is troubled over what's about to happen. But should I ask God to take this away from me? No. Father, glorify your name. And a voice comes from heaven that sounds like thunder to people. And it says, I have glorified you. I will glorify you. And Jesus says, this is it. This is the time the ruler of this world is going down. Judgment is coming. The defeat of the authorities is at hand. And Jesus, then we are told, goes and hides himself. The authorities, having just watched him ride into Jerusalem, are again furious. We must kill him. We must destroy him. But they fear the crowds. We are told that many in the crowds believed in Jesus, but they were scared. Fear, we are told, was paralyzing them. We can't follow this Jesus. He's about to die. We would get killed too. Their fear, we are told, blinds them. They can't see Jesus for who he is because they're scared of the authorities. Trouble and death seems to be following Jesus everywhere he goes in John's gospel. He challenges us today in the text with this beautiful analogy of a seed. Imagine if you were given the seed to a beautiful plant. And imagine just holding on to this seed and tucking it away in a box, never to be planted. A waste, Jesus tells us. A waste. Our lives, he says, are these kind of seeds. We have been given our life in order to plant it, not to hold on to it, not to preserve it and tuck it away in a box. We have been given our lives in order to plant them, to lay them down, to disown ourselves in order that we might give ourselves to something more beautiful. That we might plant our lives, the seed of our lives, in the world. Lay down our lives in love so that a true harvest would come. Jesus has been challenging his followers in the crowds with this. But we're told fear was getting in the way. I can't give up the one seed that I've been given. I don't know what comes next, what might happen. Fear keeps the crowds, the followers of Jesus, to take the seed that God has given them and hide it away. They love it so much that they don't want to use this seed for anything, and so they tuck it away, never to see the light of day. But Jesus, on the other hand, boldly takes the seed of his life that his Father has given him and says, "Let me show you how to truly live." And he goes and he lays down his life. He plants the seed of his life that it may truly blossom into something beautiful. What kind of people are we? Are we the kind of people who love our lives, the seed that God has given us so much, we don't want it to change, we don't want it to be disturbed, and so we tuck our lives away out of fear, hide it away? Are we the kind of people who've caught the vision of Jesus' irresponsibility with his life, where he recklessly rides into Jerusalem to plant his life out of love for others, knowing that this seed that his Father has given him is meant to be planted, is meant to grow into a true bounty? I think Mary got it. I think as Mary took that burial oil that she had been saving for another day, I think she finally got it. burial oil that had been set aside on a shelf, saved for later. She saw Lazarus come out of the tomb, and she got it. Burial oil isn't meant to be saved for later. It's meant to be poured out right now. What better moment to use it than today? There's no better moment than now. And she took that oil that she had been saving and she scattered it on Jesus. Lavishly poured it out. Much to the chagrin of Judas, who thought it should be saved for money. No, she poured it out. She knew that the time for saving and protecting was over. Death had been defeated. Lazarus came out of the tomb. It was time to live. Truly live. Truly free. No longer constrained by fear and anxieties. And so she poured it out. And so did Jesus. He poured it out as he walked into Jerusalem, ready to face whatever would come. May we live so boldly, so courageously ourselves. Amen.